From Noble Robot on East Hennepin Avenue in Talkative, Minneapolis, this is Nice Games Club, the show where nice game devs talk games and game development.
I'm Lydia Simchich, and I make nice games.
I'm Steve McGregor, and I make nice games.
And I'm Martha Croy, I too make nice games.
In this episode, we talk with Sam Baseman, freelance 3D artist and Nice Games Alliance board member, to discuss creative peer communities. And so, if everyone is ready, let's start.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Howdy. Sam, welcome to the clubhouse. We've been meaning to have you for quite a while.
It's an honor to be here.
Before we get into the topic, let's introduce our listeners to you and, you know, what your deal is and why we're such big fans of yours.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, you'll have to speak on that front, but I can introduce myself a little bit. Hi, everybody. I'm Sam Baseman. I'm a board member for the IGDA Twin Cities community, as well as Nice Games Alliance. And I also organize a couple other communities on the side, as well as doing 3D contract art. That other community is Jamma Jam. It's a monthly asset jam targeted towards game developers, primarily in the Midwest, but run remotely on Discord, so it can be participated in anywhere.
And some of that is why we're such big fans of yours.
Aw, shucks.
Others, just because you're so charming and lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stop it.
But
you asked us to do this.
Yes.
I will not come on the show unless you say nice things about me up top.
This is mandatory.
But why we have you, aside from, you know, we would just love to have you for any reason, is about some of those things you talked about running community.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Specifically about running sort of creative peer communities is what we're calling it.
Yeah.
And which is a little bit different from, you know, sort of community management in general. And I think we were talking about this before the show, like, you know, who would benefit from this topic, do you think? Maybe we can go around and kind of start the conversation there.
Are you asking all of us?
Sure.
I feel like oftentimes I find myself looking for community that doesn't quite match my current local scene. It's helpful to have like Discords available so that like you can find people, like-minded folks who are you might not know personally, mm-hmm. at least for the time being. Maybe you'll meet somebody in person and then you could start a thing then. But I appreciate that about the internet age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is the internet age like 20 years ago? Am I that old now? I don't know.
I don't really want to know what we would be called if not internet age.
Okay.
Because it scares me.
And it's funny, as someone who grew up before the internet was a thing, just before.
Yes.
It is funny to hear people in their 20s talk about like the olden days before the internet as if they would have any idea. They talk with authority about it, too. It's like, all right, you've seen a lot of TV, I guess.
Yeah,
I think for context, my first experience with the internet is playing a Dora the Explorer Flash game on Nick Jr.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes.
Of memory.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so old. Okay.
Was it on dial-up?
It was not.
I played on dial-up.
Mm.
I played my Blue's Clues Flash games on dial-up.
Okay, this is what the show's about now.
We're taking over.
Lydia, I wouldn't have thought you were old enough to have experienced dial-up.
I think it's a combination of like just being on the cusp mm-hmm. and my family having enough money that we would have been able to afford internet before most people would have been able to afford internet. So we had the dial-up internet when I was young enough to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've experienced dial-up.
Yeah,
it's a great sound. It's weird.
I've heard that sound. So maybe I have.
But yeah, I do.
Steven trying to join the ranks of the fresh faced.
Yeah, I'm young. I'm hip. I'm happening.
But I do remember like mom having to tell 3-year-old me like you have to log off so that way we can use the phone.
I've heard those bleeps and bloops before.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm young. Anyways, that is my answer. I feel like that's why I would like a Discord, is to be able to meet other folks who I don't have access to currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I can speak a little bit about my time getting into the game development community, which is where my most experience of experiencing, but also helping to run these kinds of things, which is, I think when you're in a mid-sized town or mid-sized city, you don't have this huge anchor to draw you to community of a thing you're interested in.
Right, yeah.
So specifically for us and for a lot of our listeners, that's going to be game development communities. Mm-hmm. But it isn't always, you know, it's everything, right? If the community is smaller, more disparate, then you want to meet online. And for me, like those communities back when I got into this community were really very much, let's meet and then let's talk later on Slack. That was kind of the environment. And that worked.
Yeah.
But it was very slow growing, and it also was hard for people to naturally reach.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, later we've sort of developed a much more pandemic sort of forced our hand, really, to move to Discord specifically, but also to design our onboarding as a community towards online first, even though we are a community of people who meet in person. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting as a consumer of that product, but also later as a designer of it.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
I guess my thoughts are somewhat more anecdotal, although I did find IDGA TC via the internet, which is then how I found Women in Games, and that's how I'm sitting here through many other events in this chair. But then I think anecdotally I've heard a lot more about these Discords and communities kind of starting as offshoots from other repositories of information. So I know my husband has joined a number of very creative Discords that were shared and as extensions of Reddit communities, places where you can actively brainstorm and share things at a different pace or a different level of formal documentation or informal documentation as what's on Reddit, usually for D&D stuff. And then the other anecdotes I hear are like creative subsections of other kind of fan Discords or kind of places where people want to harness a lot of that creative energy that is around in a topic of interest, and then having either a Discord for that or a subsection of an established Discord for that. So for example, like there's a cosplayer that I like who has a Discord and has, as part of that Discord, they have a sub channel of like cosplay jams every month. And because people that follow them really are crafty, creative people, and it's open to all crafts and open to all things, but they have like a little prompt and they share, trying to like share and kind of vibe off of that creativity of your peers.
Yeah. You'll often have like fan art categories on a lot of Discords, but sometimes that will then spin out into just creativity sections. Mm-hmm. And it's just because a community is there.
Yeah.
Based around a movie or a game or something that everyone's a shared consumer of, but then they're already friends with each other now, so then they just find a little corner to do a thing.
Yeah,
it sort of kickstarts something that otherwise would be hard to sort of start on your own.
Yeah, I think also kind of maybe a little bit of A, maybe a little bit of B, but they feel very much like the stereotypical RPG tavern post board, where it's like you need a place to be able to throw out like, hey, there's this thing that's happening locally that is relevant to your interests, because really there isn't, may not be another place to do that.
Yeah.
That is small enough or local enough or central or niche enough that it could actually have traction with the right people. So I feel like that also can end up being kind of the thing of like, hey, we want to meet up, or hey, there's this event. Hey, they're like, I'm calling for players, I'm calling for artists, I'm calling for people to join me on this thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think the cosplay Discord is a really good example of that, because oftentimes I feel like people who are fans of it end up becoming people with skills in that area, like especially for creatives who pursue things because they're interested in the process or they do it themselves. I think that totally makes sense as like a natural offshoot of that.
Yeah, that and D&D also, because people will ask for help fine tuning or creating, and people, then that's where like the very kind of community knowledge that you've wanted to foster with this podcast and that, and just in general with Nice Games Alliance, that's where that then can immediately kick in. It's like, oh, you're building this magic item, here's resources that I've used, and here's something that I've worked on here, and here's what, how it didn't work out, can I ask some follow-up questions, blah 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 blah.
It's infrastructure.
Yes,
right. So it's very helpful when there's something there that's available to you already through some sort of shared connection. But when you have nothing, where do you start is the question for you, Sam.
Oh my goodness.
Because you've done that. Well, we have a couple of examples from your background that we're going to talk about. But I think let's start with Jamma Jam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is something that you created and needed to build up these systems for. So tell listeners a little bit about Jamma Jam in general, and then specifically about how you sort of got these things started that Lydia's talking about.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. So Jamma Jam was started. It's an event that was started out of an interest to keep in touch with developers that I myself and some friends had met going out to GDEX, a conference in Ohio 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Summer 2023, myself, John Gilliland, Katie Monty, and a couple other wonderful people went out to showcase a game that we were working on. I was on the team as a texture artist and ended up just meeting with a bunch of lovely developers, had wonderful conversations. And at the end of that conference, we're talking about how lovely it was to keep in touch with them, to meet them. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to keep in touch, but with circumstances as they are, we weren't confident if we would be able to maintain that without any external motivation. So we decided, let's come up with an event to make ourselves do that.
Yeah.
Because we had also talked about, I think it really came out of a lot of the like needs or concerns of where we were at and where we were looking towards. A lot of us were either freshly graduated from college or near the end of their college experience and looking to maintain the habits that they had built up after losing access to that sort of like close-knit infrastructure, the like amenities and close like communities. Mm-hmm. So we decided we wanted to put on an event that was something that could facilitate that while also being a little bit more open. So it started out just actually in an existing Discord server that we had as a test run. Just to see, get a feeling of format of the event itself, as well as like messaging, timing, how we want to do it. And from there, we then continued doing it for a couple months. The other developer who was working with is Branson Mariola. Mm. He was very helpful in helping figure out the format for the asset jams in general. I think a lot of our experiences with that came from just having it be a consistent thing that we were running.
Sure.
I think with it being something that we decided to start from scratch, we knew it was a need that we had, and we kind of made sure that enough other people were interested in that kind of thing before deciding to fully commit to it.
Right. Oh, okay.
We did a couple tests.
I was going to ask, what is the process of that? If you're like, I want to build this community, if this is worth your while.
I think a lot of it comes from just trying it at a small scale a couple times. Like if you're interested in starting a writing group, or if you're interested in starting a community of people who want to work on like 3D stuff together, mm-hmm. just doing it with a couple people that you're close with, either in person, in proximity, or online.
Okay.
Starting it in like some small social group can be an effective way to essentially play test an event.
Sure, yeah.
And then
we love play testing.
Yeah. As you get into it, then you can start formalizing it, figuring out ways to kind of pare down the format that it becomes more like sustainable for you as an event host. Because if you're deciding to do something yourself, then you kind of are your own project manager for what you're able to afford towards it in terms of like time or energy. Mm-hmm. I definitely with Jamma Jam, it's far from my own thing. There's like a group of five of us that help run events in total. So we often trade off who's running opening and closing ceremonies where we're showing like the theme.
Cool.
The submissions that people have put in, as well as just general admin or messaging and posts. That stuff we divvy up a little bit, which definitely helps with the workload. Mm-hmm. But I think just like being consistent with the posts once you've decided you're doing it can be really helpful, especially when you're starting something from scratch.
Yeah.
People oftentimes kind of need that consistency or that nudge in order to get started with something. And so by being the most stable factor in that equation, I feel like it often leaves the door open more clearly for people.
Yeah. So you sort of described the creation of it as a bit of an excuse, you know, an ulterior motive just to keep in touch. But I mean, that is essentially another way of saying that you identified a need it needed to fill, right? Yeah. Rather than, you know, I've got this idea for a community.
Right.
I need to now recruit people into this community. You already had a little seed of it going.
Yeah.
And then when you started it, it was really very much, like you said, just a sort of test run. It's a small scale sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Was it entirely organic, or when you decided to make it a thing and do your first sort of test runs, did you imagine maybe not an end goal, but did you imagine what it would look like when it got bigger or its own thing? Or was it just like, let's see if it becomes that?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of parts of it that we started out with. We had a couple meetings before even running our first little test one to just decide like, okay, well, what do we want for a name? What do we want for timing? How long of an event do we want to make it? Format, parameters, anything like that. There's a couple things that we did for our first jam that I think are still more or less how we run it today. We've changed some things over time, but those have mainly been adjusting to better suit the needs of people who are more interested in participating in it or would like to participate in it, but maybe don't have the time. Mm-hmm. So a big example was initially we had started our jams. They run 48 hours first Friday of every month. We initially started those at noon and ran till noon on Sunday, but found that we had a lot of people who maybe had the evening free on Sundays versus not having the evening free or like during the day free on Friday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So shifting those times. We also, I think, pulled a lot of reference from formats that we were familiar with. I've helped out when I was in college. I was a part of my student IGDA chapter for a year and helped with running their semesterly game jams. And they, like, through that, I kind of had some experience with running a jam. We based a lot of format off of that. And then Branson also similarly was in his, like, college major or, like, his, like, college major community. And they actually initially were the ones to start doing asset jams. They initially did those for only an hour.
Yeah.
Mm. An hour?
Yeah. So
imagine a thing making a thing in just an hour, Steve.
Yeah, gosh, who would do such a thing?
But yeah, it's interesting you mentioned like trying to identify a need. I think that's something that I hadn't subconsciously considered when we were starting out with it. But I think that is like a really good basis to ground creating in like a community or like recurring events in.
Yeah,
is just like finding a need or an interest that of people around you have.
Yeah, in my thought, in my mind, it was actually kind of like finding an excuse because you, by making it a clear event that you had a goal or a thing that you were doing, you completely avoided the awkward cocktail party. Mm-hmm. And now you're in the room, talk to each other.
Yeah.
Sort of dynamic, which can happen very easily. And especially if it's async or online only, that can be even more deafening.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it just seems like an existence of being an adult where you need to have a thing to do in order to meet people.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
At the very least, a starting point. Mm-hmm. Having a common interest, but also having a common mission, because then there's so many more ways to start a conversation, either by sharing something or just asking about something, asking for help, throwing out an idea. It feels like there's more handholds to socializing, which then means there's more handholds to building a community over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's helpful when you are able to find people who are of similar interests to you, or people who are at least interested in being interested in that, because then you can kind of build a community of people that help support other people as they're easing their way in.
Mm-hmm.
We had mentioned at the top, I've done a lot with the IGDA Twin Cities community Discord.
Yeah.
But I'm not very active in it. I'm not much of a poster.
I'm the same way. And so, we are like a piece in a pod on this. Like, I handed you the keys to that server because I was like, how did I get roped into doing this? So I need to rope someone else.
Yeah.
And you've done great, by the way.
Well, thank you.
One of the things that makes it kind of difficult, I think, when you're in this position, and it speaks a little bit to what you were talking about earlier about like how there were people in your circle who had experience with the admin of the things that you put all together, the asset jams and you know, Discord servers and everything, that the muscle that you're exercising is different from your normal creative impulses,
right?
Like you made some adjustments for logistics, so we're not going to start at noon anymore. But at the same time, a lot of what you create as an artist is really grounded in what you know your intention. And when you manage a community, you have to identify the need, which is a different thing, right? And so what makes this different from other kinds of community management, because it's you're doing the jam, I hope, most months, right?
Yeah, most months, more often than not.
You're not just admin, but like someone's got to do the admin.
Right.
And that's definitely something I felt with our community server is like, you know, and I don't post a lot because I feel like that's not my role there. And maybe that's a little bit of a bummer sometimes, but like you do have to kind of put on a different hat. You can't be like, oh, I'm crafting this thing that I'm making.
Yeah.
Like you have to kind of step back from that impulse quite a lot, actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Jamma Jam, did you find that natural because you had all this this support and all the pieces from everybody's experience, or was that a struggle for you with that one?
I think it was definitely easier for me to do because I'm a lot more comfortable in roles where it's in person or at least in a video or voice call conveying information or doing the admin setup or like broader like direction, like making sure what we're doing is oriented towards like our goals and mission.
Yeah.
We thankfully, like, shout out to Katie, thoroughly the most consistent poster of our like event announcements, any messages that we have to send recurringly. She's very consistent with that on socials and in our Discord, which is super helpful. And then John and Branson are both very enthusiastic, like, members in the Discord, like, welcoming in new people or responding promptly to people who are posting their things. Having those kind of people, I feel like Trent does very similarly in IGDA TC
Another
Discord.
Another board member from our community is much, much better about keeping, like, stirring the pot of conversation.
Right.
I guess you do need someone, and that's part of the admin too,
yeah.
right?
Right. Even if they just do it because they like talking to people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm very much like often keeping tabs on messages, but I don't ever really post as much as I maybe would like to.
I'm curious if some of that hesitancy, and I guess Mark, you can speak to this too, is because when you post, I can't remember if IGDA specifically has like you as a different color when you're like a board member or not. But like when you post, maybe whatever you say kind of has an authority that you don't intend.
You are kind of wearing your sheriff's badge.
Yeah. And so I'm curious if that is part of the hesitancies. Like even in the back of your head, you're like, well, if I speak about this thing, then it's like the board speaking about it or something.
Yeah.
I think there is a little bit of that I maybe hadn't acknowledged until like just now. Honestly.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that to light.
No problem. Anytime.
Well, I mean, when you have a tight-knit community where it is interesting on the game dev community server, because I would say half the people who post regularly are people who also come to live events and you know them personally. And then the other half are people you only know in this context.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have a hybrid audience on the server, and we've recently welcomed people from outside the state because they don't have, centers of gravity where they live. And that, I think that's great that we're able to provide that community to just people outside, you know, our metro area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's still sort of shared culture and community that they can find. But it means that when that's the only context, it's a little harder to just like be yourself.
Sure.
You do it because you are wearing the sheriff's badge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I think probably, for me, it's probably just a mix of just my general, like I'm not like Trent, who is, you know, much more likely to just get in the mix with people and is much more comfortable and better at it. But also I want to make sure that like, I'm not ever speaking, talking about a thing, I always try to make as clear as possible that like, if there's, you know, if it's like, we're having opinions on stuff, that like, I'm just my opinions on stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'd like to think that's pretty well understood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's a lot of space for confusion, but you do have to think about that sometimes.
I think I often run into that, especially as well when it comes to clarity or legibility of what I'm saying.
Sure.
I think myself as a like casual communicator, if I'm responding to people's messages that aren't related to any like projects or goals, I'm a very loose messenger.
Yeah.
Very, very casual. But whenever I'm in a situation where I'm writing copy for, say, a monthly events announcement, or I'm talking about scheduling for a board meeting or things like that.
Yeah, there's announcement Sam.
Right.
Right, exactly. Which is a different Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
very much like code swapping in that regard.
Yeah. Sure.
I have a very, and listeners will, you know, not be surprised to hear, I have a sort of formal affect generally. And so it's maybe a little harder for me to differentiate me, the big dork talking about normal stuff, and the big dork talking about like
important
businessy stuff.
Yeah.
Because they don't sound that different.
Sure.
But that, I imagine that's a very useful tool. And, and I've recognized that in your, which is, that's nice. Because that is a piece of communication.
Uh-huh.
Right.
It's very
right.
useful to people.
You very much want to make sure that what you're saying is coming across to the people who are reading it, which there's a lot of moving parts to it, I feel like.
And what is nice about Announcement Sam is Announcement Sam is just as fun as regular Sam.
For that.
Aw,
you know what I mean? Like, you're not like Robot Sam. Right.
Right.
There is that, like you said, code switching.
Yeah.
You really find that without being like a pretend, you know, you're not just a speaker box doing announcements. Like,
yeah,
you still are you.
Right. I still put on a couple exclamation points whenever I'm saying what month it is.
Yeah.
I'm still choosing thematic emojis.
Right, right. But there still is a difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And the emojis are still thematic, but
it feels
emojis.
A little like some of the more like in universe end of episode in anime. Like, this is like, oh, we're talking about what we just did in the episode, and we're going, and in next episode, here's a hint at what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like two characters talking, or it's very in character in the moment. It feels a little like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a meta kind of thing.
For people who are my age, at the end of G.I. Joe, where they like say, hey, kids, knowing is half the
knowing
battle.
Knowing is only half the battle.
Yeah.
I guess. Reading the event post is only half the job.
Well, so that skill of like of being able to kind of like be someone in a context in an online community and in a section of that, you know what I mean? Like that is not specifically defined, right? And in different communities, it's experienced differently.
Right.
Do you think that developing that ability is one, totally necessary? Like, can you get by if you're not good at that part? And what is it like to learn that? Do you think it comes naturally, or do you have to kind of to push for it?
Right. I think for me, I found that a lot of it was just kind of natural, just because I think I've like just since adolescence always been very much the kind of person to adapt the way I'm speaking or behaving to the space that I'm in.
Sure.
But I feel like that's something that can definitely be learned through experience, just meeting different groups of people or watching and observing like conversations and just listening to the people that you're talking to. Like the way, even between like Jamma Jam and IGDATC, the way that I speak is a lot different because Jamma Jam kind of intentionally has this sort of casual affect to it of like, this is a bunch of people hanging out making little assets. Mm-hmm. You know, come in, show up every month if you want, show up this month, don't show up next month if you want.
Yeah.
Whereas with IGDATC, it's a little bit more formal. At least in the Discord messaging for it. So there's a bit more clarity and like, it's a bit more straightforward, bare bones.
Yes.
Like, this is the event copy. Hello. If you're interested in X, Y, and Z, you should go to A.
Yeah.
If you're interested in A, B, and C, you should go to there.
And that sets the tone for the community and the environment in that community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking directly to that, one of the things that's important to me as someone who helps shape how the community works is this, when you get really familiar, then if you're new, then it can be kind of alienating.
Yeah.
Right? Now, a smaller group where if someone joins, seven people flock to them and explain how it works.
Yeah.
Then that's kind of like a bit of an...
That's overwhelming.
Well, that's a bit of... Well, what I mean is that it's a bit of an immunity against the alienation.
Oh, sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
If someone comes by and then everyone's like, hey, I've got, you know, here's all the information and have a great time and stuff.
Yeah.
Like when you have the energy to do that, if you have a small community. But when you have a large community that is very much like... open to the public in a sense, right? Even if it's specifically tailored, then it's harder to, when someone comes in, you need to have some rules they can follow, some guidance that they can look at. And there's not enough attention within the leadership to swarm on them and make them feel really comfortable.
Right.
So you kind of have to make sure. So that's kind of where I think it's nice to have Announcement Sam because it's like, there's no inside jokes. There's no, it's very clear and understanding and very much, the tone of it always is, you know, if you're new here, don't worry.
Right.
Right.
I try and use it. I almost picture it as almost like a little like wayfinder, like signpost.
Yeah.
Like if you're interested in this, go there. If you're interested in our playtest event, check out this channel and this event post. If you're interested in VR, check out the VR channel and event posts. And just having those channels in general helps give people more clear understandings of where they can have conversations.
Yeah.
We've talked about this a few times, you and I, Mark, about trying to make sure you're not flooding a Discord server full of channels while also giving more like encouragement for people to post where they would like to.
Yes. Yeah. And that is like, I mean, and it's very contextual, like it's difficult. And you, the tone you set shapes that in ways that like, you know, like we don't really know.
We have to
sort of discover.
So I was going to ask about that, actually, because like I'm curious how you've established Announcement Sam. that voice, and how you
I love that's our shorthand now.
Yeah. And how you cultivate a welcoming environment for people in both the IGDATC community and Jamma Jam.
Sure. I think like personally, like in terms of like motivation for myself, a lot of it just comes from being really genuinely interested in what people are doing.
That's why you're great.
Oh, shucks. Well, that's because I think everybody else is great.
Oh.
You know what? I mean, that's true of Sam. Let's make clear.
True. But yes.
It kind of has to be true if you're going to commit yourself to something like this.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? It is, and it's kind of harder than it sounds to like be engaged and interested in other people's like perspective and concerns and needs.
I mean,
when you have the same concerns and needs.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
I don't do that much anymore. But like back when Glitch was a thing, like I was that person. I was kind of the hype person for it. And it was a lot.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah. So yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
And it has to be satisfying.
Yeah. Right. Satisfying.
It's hard. Sometimes it's not.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I think a lot of it also comes from reading the room of people that you're around and finding like shared things between others that maybe doesn't involve yourself, like what other topics people are interested in or things that they care about, and then or just the way that they talk in general, and kind of leaning more towards that tone when you're messaging towards it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's very different from, say, like, I know there are communities that are more like personality based, like you had mentioned the cosplay Discord. I imagine in that, I haven't been in it, but I imagine a lot of the conversation still ends up kind of circulating around stuff or the work related to that main cosplay person. Mm-hmm. Or there are creative communities that I'm in or like have seen that are more so like people go for that specific person's experience or identity or something to do with them.
Yeah, like that's the starting point of every conversation, and the creativity is the offshoot, like momentum kind of.
Right.
It can be very, you can rally around it in a way that gets you a lot of shortcuts that are like, and not in a negative way, like that can really like ease the sort of the on-ramp.
Onboarding
to all the things you need to let people be creative and interested and get satisfaction out of that community. Mm-hmm. But it can also be very limiting if it's very much focused on a person or a thing.
Right.
That then, you know, you have to kind of let that go if you want something that has the benefits of not being constrained by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if you're coming from a perspective where that's not the case, something that I think just has been subconscious practice that's really helped me cultivate announcement, Sam, is just that I've often, like, I'm very enthusiastic about promoting things that I think other people would find useful or interesting or helpful.
Nice.
So I've told people about our playtest event or our main game dev meetup or jam night enough that I kind of have like a little like elevator pitch spiel in my head.
I know that feel.
I do almost kind of treat it like I'm giving a little teeny tiny pitch because you're trying to basically convey the value that it imparts, the bare minimum of like where you can go to find more details, and then the relevancy of it to that person.
That's what a pitch is.
Yeah.
And this is where I've had some difficulty because even when you are able to code switch, it's difficult to be a full participant in that community when it comes time to like ask for help, but also like promote your own work.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've surprised myself in the past couple of years is I talk very little about my own work in the community in a way that like when I do participate, it's usually not about that.
Mm.
And like Blippo Plus came out last week where we're sitting.
Huzzah!
PC and Switch, go buy it, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But within the community, like I shared that and I felt like weird about it. Whereas like every day I'm telling people like, you know, post your promo in general.
Right.
Like, that's what I want from our community.
Yeah.
And I had a hard time doing it.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I'm kind of leading and working on a project called Grape Juice City. It's a 3D party platformer that started as a university project.
Just woot woot for that.
Woot woot. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's charming AF.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to the internet someday.
We need that as a t-shirt.
Sooner rather than later, I can say.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Not everybody can say that, so.
The people that I work on that with are all wonderful and lovely, but I've run into that problem as well of like, I get a little shy or like consider, like second guess a lot of like posting about it, even though I'm constantly telling people like, yeah, hey, I just made this cool new like forum channel. Yeah. Post your games in there. Tell us when it's out. Share in progress updates from it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine it hits a little bit differently when you are, you know, when a quote unquote, not quote unquote, I guess you are an authority of the community.
Well, yes, of course.
I, but, you know, we do. Uh-huh. I know that like when any of us sort of quote unquote in charge do sort of hype up our own things, we do get a lot of support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just true because everybody supports everybody in this community. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a surprise.
Right. Yeah.
But I do think a little bit of it is because we are relatively reserved.
Sure.
Like, mm-hmm. that people trust that we're never abusing our position.
Yeah.
Which is, it's not like it's, I mean, we could be flagrant about it and it wouldn't necessarily be abusing the position exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different from like this podcast where like we talk about our stuff at the top of the show.
Right.
Because this podcast is about those of us at the table as well as the topics we're discussing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's definitely, I have much easier time promoting stuff on the show. Mm-hmm. And even then, I try to keep it in check.
Yeah.
But a lot of that is really just about establishing trust with people that like that when it's time for you to like either ask a favor, like please review or share a thing that I've made, like that people have the trust in you to be able to provide the support that they would provide everybody else.
Yeah, that's fair.
That they don't have to do any code switching about how their relationship with you. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. You're kind of making sure that when you're posting about something that's related to your stuff, that it is important enough or quote unquote like warrants that like level of interest, which is true to some degree, but I think we also definitely are prone to overthinking it.
That's what I was going to say, is I feel like,
yeah, maybe we're really bad at it.
Yeah, I think we're not maybe.
It seems like I can imagine it might be helpful then that there's like identifiably from the outside, this when this person's in this channel, they've taken their shoes off, their hair is down, they are kvetching about whatever they have programmed today, or the texture that didn't wrap properly, and like essentially, you know, this segment of the space is the zone where they are casual, like identifiably having that physical boundary, because the tonal boundary may not be as obvious in general or to some people.
Yeah,
I can imagine that might help, but especially also if you want to post in all the places.
Yeah.
If you don't like have a locus or subsection where your work really does fit and that would be where it only lives, then that I can imagine where that would end up being prime overthinking territory.
Right. Yeah. We kind of, as we were adding channels to the IGDA Discord, there was a lot of kind of back and forth on what to add or remove. And I think a lot of the areas where we've encouraged people to post, we kind of have a catch-all channel for those things as well.
Yeah.
Like we have our game engines for specific discussions or questions that people might have on like some of the biggest ones, but we also have an other engines channel for more niche engines that people are interested in.
Well, we observed what conversations were happening.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think you need a lot of volume to make those decisions with any kind of alacrity. So we had to do some guessing, I think, but we took some data in and observed what people were talking about and tried to anticipate how it might be best to divide these things without making so many channels.
Right.
Right.
I think speaking to Lydia's point, I think like the, there's how much scaffolding is like what you need to be able to separate like because like Announcement Sam lives in the Announcements channel.
Yes.
But Announcement Sams can show up in general.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same way. But general is also the place for like where you can share your thing.
Uh-huh. Right?
And so you do have to rely a little bit on being and everybody understanding who you are when you post now.
Right.
But there's a little bit of infrastructure, like things in the Announcements channel are like just the facts, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so there are different, you do need that scaffolding with rules about what this is for. But too much of that can requires you a lot. People need to learn it.
Yeah.
And then they also need to like tiptoe.
Right.
That's one of the things that like on our server, we've been trying to tell people like, it's okay to do self promo. We're not the kind of server where people don't talk about the things they make.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
Like, but that's hard because people are in so many Discord servers where that gets like punished. Or Reddit forums where people are, it's like, it's anathema. Like you get banned if you share a link.
Yeah.
And I think people just, as internet culture, they take that in. But when you're working in these peer communities where you are meant to share and support each other, and also we're not each other's audience. So like I can promote the thing I'm making, but I'm just looking for pats on the back. I'm not looking to sell this to my friends.
Right.
And I think that's hard for people. That is difficult to communicate.
So what I have been trying to say is I think that you're kind of, well, effectively, you're setting a precedent by not posting about the things that you've done. You posted about Blippo Plus in the Discord. But I don't know that I've seen a lot of posts about Grape Juice City. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm calling you out, I guess, on air.
Okay, but well, I'll post something tonight.
Okay, here we go. I like the commitment. But I think that like it sets a precedent, right? If you see people like popular members or authority members posting about things that they've done, then you can feel more comfortable at least considering the idea of posting things.
Yeah, you set an example too. Yeah, right. That's a good point. Yeah.
So
it's nice to have like an audience, like not an official audience plant, but just like someone in your community that is really enthusiastic and like posts as much, if not more, than you do. Like, especially like with Jamma Jam, especially, we just recently had a couple wonderful people who've been very prolific in all of our channels.
Cool.
And just that in general has exponentially improved, like, I think people's engagement in the jam, both like for the event as well as just in the server for discussion.
And it allows for a talking point too, because then people can see that thing and then they can compliment it and people can have a conversation about that thing and then it breeds more conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm the one all of a sudden talking like I'm an expert, but
it's because you're getting excited by it because there's a seed of like initiation into the idea of it.
Right. That's what I was just
saying. You're exemplifying the thing that you were saying.
Gosh, I'm so smart.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you need to start a Discord community encouraging people to post frequently.
And that's the whole Discord.
Well, I think Steven mission. Needs to be a little bit more active on our community server.
Oh, see, now don't bring it back on me. Okay. That's fair.
So, Steven, how's that fishing minigame collection?
Oh, man. That's some fishing minigames.
I would, you know, that'd be a great, you could really post about that. That is a perfect place for it.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know. It would. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've been making so much progress. It's like, why are you keeping it to yourself?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a good point. So, Sam, what are signs?
Yes.
What's a sign that the community is doing well? Like, why would, what would you say makes Jamma Jam feel successful to you?
I think, as just like a numerical perspective, you can look at how many people participated in a jam each month. We run all of our jams through Itch, so you can look at that and see how many people participated each month. Sometimes it varies depending on like external events or recurring things.
Right. I imagine you probably don't get a lot of participants during the holidays.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah. That's a big factor in that. But oftentimes, even if you just see people responding, if there's generally like when you are announcing your things in your channels for announcing things, if people are responsive to that or receptive, even if it's just a lot of like, oh man, that sounds like a really awesome theme. Like, I have an idea for it. Maybe I'll do it next time. Like, if you're getting a lot of like consistent engagement, or if people are posting without you really putting as much effort into it, as I mentioned earlier with like having your little community champions, I think those are both really good signs that the community is doing well. But sometimes you won't always get those results, I feel like. Like, I feel like sometimes there are more subtle examples of things going under the radar that means it's running as intended, but it means that like if people aren't asking questions constantly in your Discord, you kind of just have to hope that things are working well as intended.
Right.
With like the IGDATC server, I feel like I have a lot of areas in which general like event information, like address, timing, copy is posted. And sometimes that doesn't get updated in one little area. But as long as you have like the very clear channels that you prioritize, I feel like that you will end up catching about like 95% of people.
Sure.
And then with a community like ours, we have a meta discussion channel that we encourage people to post in to give feedback to the community in general, which I think is a really effective tool to have. We have a similar thing in Jamma Jam of like questions and suggestions. Mm-hmm. Giving people that space to ask questions on a broader sense helps you learn about things that maybe were problems that you didn't know about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think one sign that things are working is like that meta channel will be really like a graveyard for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, oh, I really wonder if people certainly have opinions, but there's just not a lot of activity there. And then like someone will ask a question in general and someone else will say, oh, we should move it to meta. And then that conversation flourishes for a brief moment.
Yeah.
And then we do something about it, or we have it, or, you know, it leads to information gathering or action.
Right.
And then it goes back to graveyard for a while. And it's like, because that's what that's for.
Yeah.
And so I think knowing it's difficult to you just think, oh, lots of messages is the right thing. But sometimes things are just like scaled to what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, some of the games channels aren't being updated a lot. Well, those developers are probably just working. Like, you know, like they're not doing
dev. That's the thing about making games.
Yeah, and everybody just being comfortable with like it being what it is.
Yeah.
It's right sized to the size of your community. Mm-hmm. And as it's growing, sometimes you don't know what the right size is. Mm-hmm. Like, is it, I know there's about this many people who have sort of engaged, but, or are sort of part of the community, but so few of them are engaging. Does that just mean that the community is actually smaller than I thought? Or does it mean that like I'm not serving them? And like knowing that is tricky, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like I think I am not super familiar with like a ton of other asset jams as a format in general. I know there are some that exist, but a lot of those tend to err towards creating assets for the like with intention to release them as like a pack altogether, or more commercially oriented, and with a mission that's more oriented towards skill development or like community building, it can be harder sometimes to clarify that to people who are like,
right, what are the milestones?
Right, right. Yeah. Do we want to try and post like get hundreds of people engaging, or is it good if just like 10-ish people are participating each time.
Yeah. And then with something like IDGATC, because you value and promote like little pockets of where someone would most want to participate, then the net participation is by definition fractured.
Yes.
And harder to see.
Yeah.
Because if you've done your job right, they have found the place that they want to engage with and not engage with the other parts that they don't want to.
Right.
And so then you have a community, but it is not a monolith. Mm-hmm. And it's easier to see a monolith.
Yeah. True. And I feel like that does kind of prove that the community is more like open for people to approach it at their own pace general. Like, it would be awesome if everybody showed up to every single event every single month. But I am not able to do that.
Well, I mean, certainly the remit of our chapter is sort of self-defeating in that way. Like we very much want to like all are welcome and you'll find a corner here rather than saying like, let's focus in on what we want to do. We have many different, we have, you know, 6 events a month.
Yeah.
They're all very specific and focused on different people. So you can find the 1 or 2 or 3 of them that, that fits your profile as a developer rather than having to conform to the one that everyone else is going to.
Right.
You know. But then sometimes it's like, well, it'd be great if everyone came to all of them. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so I think,
well, we did it to ourselves, but that was the right thing to do.
Yeah. You know? It fit the needs of what we wanted to set out to do. So I think it works in that regard.
Yeah. And that is reflected now in the Discord server. Whereas it didn't necessarily used to be. It was just the most active people, you know, period, were the ones who were showing up. And now it's you see people in the sections that's more matches better the engagement in those different interests and topics.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways you can approach it, especially if you aren't in any communities like that at a given point in time. Like if you're trying to seek out a community or maybe make one, I feel like it can be I think it's kind of a nice opportunity because you kind of get to window shop or brainstorm it more. Whereas if you're seeking out an existing community, you have to make sure that that suits your goals and needs. But if you just have a core of people that you have similar or even different interests, but have good conversations with, it can start as simply as like a sewing club night, basically, that you do with your friends. And then you can expand it out. And if it gets to a large enough scale, you can start formalizing it or making more clear stuff with it.
That playtesting.
Yeah, there's many ways in, right? It doesn't have to start online.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I think with like hybrid events, especially, or hybrid communities now, a big part of it can be just making sure that the goals and interests and needs of the community that's showing up in person is matching the people remotely and that any messaging that you're doing remote covers any interests or needs for your in-person stuff and vice versa. Like, making sure that the announcements that I post in the Discord reflect accurately reflect the same information that I'm sharing at our in-person game dev meetup where we share most of our kind of community news board announcements.
Yeah, I'm curious actually how you balance that, because I imagine there are some communities that are like mostly online. So I think Jamma Jam is mostly online, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Not really an in-person kind of thing.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I think it's mainly just a capacity thing for the people running it at this point.
Yeah, yeah, because you got to find a space and then host people there, and that's a lot of effort.
Yeah.
But IGDA, Twin Cities, has like spaces and events and in-person things. And it also has the Discord. And Mark, you were just talking about how some people tend to go to all of the events. Some people only go to a few of the events. Some go to one. And some don't go to any of the events, but just participate in the Discord. How do you balance that whole thing? Because they're all part of the community, but they all participate in different ways. How do you square that circle?
Sure.
Yeah. Business words.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
I think in general, I try to make sure that the announcements that I'm posting remotely are more concise or as pared down as possible, because this is anecdotal, I think. But from what I've seen, people are generally a lot more receptive to larger amounts of information in person or when they're being told directly, verbally, as opposed to reading a very, very dense, very, very long series of messages.
As we all know, nobody reads.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can take experiences from like formatting emails or trying to speak concisely over text.
Or writing game tutorials.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're good at technical writing, you'll probably be great at writing announcements. Yeah. You've got to be a little bit sillier. Yeah.
Okay. I will expand on that because I think that it's important that each piece of information is concise and quick because, you really can't count on how much attention you have from anybody.
Right.
But I think a lot of information, that a lot of pieces of information that isn't all necessarily, doesn't have to be aimed at everybody, right? Some information can be aimed at just the few people who are interested.
Oh, sure.
And that information will reach the people who aren't interested.
Yeah.
But you want, I don't believe you will turn them off.
Yeah.
Just like in our in-person events when we talk a little bit greater length about all the details, we repeat ourselves every month about a lot of that stuff.
Right.
Even when we're pretty sure there's no one new this month, right?
Right.
And we do that to sort of set the tone for everybody else that this is a place that's not just for you. It's for you and for everyone else who showed up, and it's for people who haven't shown up yet.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think that like whatever minor annoyance someone has is as seeing like more information than they need, or more, you know, more pieces of information than they need, or like the same information over again. I think we've established a tone where everyone understands what that's for.
Yeah.
And then that helps them place themselves in that community, because then everyone's an avatar for growth. And one of the things I really like is that when someone shows up to an event, we as the board don't have to be the ones who welcome them.
Sure. Right.
Like we've established enough of a culture where everybody else is like, new people are great. Like it's like this isn't just, we're not going to calcify and turn into a clique.
Yeah.
Like new people are important, and because we talk about how new people are important all the time, and we're always giving this information for new people, and so like everyone just gets it in their head that that's important. And the same thing happens on the server, where when new people show up, everyone is very welcoming. And when people have a question, it will be answered by someone else in the community very frequently before we get a chance to hop in with our sort of authoritative voice.
Yeah.
Sometimes it has to be us, but a lot of times it doesn't. And every time I'm surprised, I'm like, oh, right, because we've built this culture.
Right. Yeah. I think, honestly, the messaging of just new people are great, I think, is a really effective like kind of mantra to keep in mind, whether you're establishing a community yourself or you're even if you're looking to join an existing one.
Yeah.
Like very enthusiastically welcoming in people like and asking about their experiences as it relates to whatever community you're entering or making. It can be really helpful to either ingratiate people in welcoming themselves into the community and making them feel like they can be a part of it, as well as helping yourself integrate into an existing community if that is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Sam, for joining us here in the clubhouse again.
Oh, shucks. My pleasure.
It's been a blast.
I mean, would you like to come back next week?
Oh, my gosh. If you'd have me.
You do have to sleep in the clubhouse.
That works for me. You guys have a nice couch here.
And a nice Games Club pillow, which you can rest your head on.
Wow, that's amazing. I would love to take that home with me, but
this is turning into a pitch.
It is. Oh, snap. Okay, so call to action. You can go to nicegames.club/merch and get a pillow today.
So you're saying if I were to take that pillow home, I should go to nicegames.club/merch so that I could buy another one for the clubhouse to have.
Well, yeah, if you steal it, then you have to go to nicegames.club/merch to replace it.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
folks at home, you don't have that problem. You can just go and buy one for yourself.
Right.
At, where was that again?
Icegames.club/merch.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, we're good at this. That's our show. You can find Sam online at Scrimbus on social media. We will post the spelling in the show notes. For show notes and additional links from today's conversation, go to our website, nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. Discuss this episode or others or whatever with your fellow listeners on our Discord. Stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be looking at developing for speedrunners and health. But that's it for this week.
So, until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.